Welcome to EB5 Investment Voice, where attorney insights intersects with immigration investments. If you are a foreign investor, domestic fund manager, or enterprising entrepreneur and want to get the most out of the EB5 program, you have come to the right place. I'm Mark Deal, and I'll be your co-host on this journey. I'm joined by your host, Mona Shaw, and other attorneys at Mona Shaw & Associates, as well as immigration leaders from around the world. So let's get into EB5 Investment Voice. Hey, Mona, you know, there's been a lot of discussion lately with the stimulus package as things have been evolving and passing, and there's even been a rumor regarding the EB5 program, and could it be involved with that? Would it change some of the cap rates and investment amounts? I don't want to get into numbers because, again, it's rumors. What can you tell us about that?
That's right, Mark. There was a rumor. There was a rumor which was circulated by several different sources. It had begun by Politico and then been picked up by other newspapers and then EB5 blogs. EB5 was going to be part of the stimulus package that Congress are currently working on. But you know, Mark, you're a bad boy for discussing rumors. Ooh. Because rumors are rumors.
Yeah. And
we always need to verify rumors. In this industry, anybody can say anything and suddenly it goes rife, especially with the way social media is nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
So we thought, who best but to discuss what was really going on in the industry right now than the president of IIUSA, which is Bob Kraft.
That's right, Mona. Today on EB5 Investment Voice, we have Bob Kraft. Bob pairs his 40 years of experience as an international business executive, entrepreneur, and consultant to help drive economic growth and job creation in southeastern Wisconsin and the Midwest. He's helped hundreds of EB5 investors as chairman, president, and CEO of First Pathway Partners. And as you pointed out, Mona, he also serves as president of the board for IIUSA. Bob provides ongoing support in the EB5 industry through organizations, presentations, and as a guest expert in media outlets around the world, including our show, EB5 Investment Voice. Bob, welcome to our podcast.
Yeah, thank you very much, Mark. And Mona, how are you doing? It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. Well, it's a bit scary here in New York City. And as you know, we're based in Midtown Manhattan. And I went into the office yesterday. The place was a ghost town. It was simply out of a movie.
Well, Milwaukee certainly isn't New York, but the state here is locked down totally. So we're experiencing on a smaller scale the same thing the whole country is, which is just unbelievable occurrence right now and unprecedented.
It really is. But thank God we have a Congress who thinks about us and is coming up with a stimulus bill, which is where I want to start, Bob. This rumor that is going out there. And we keep telling people, we tell people on this show, we tell people in blogs and in person to not listen to rumors, but to go to the source and to go to organizations like IIUSA, read what's on their blog. If it's not on their blog, it's not worth worrying about.
Well, I appreciate that. And in fact, this afternoon, a release is being made worldwide by IIUSA refuting the rumors and trying to set straight the record with respect to where we actually are. I think as an industry, we're actually in pretty good shape, even given all the challenges that everyone's facing globally right now.
But Bob, is it a possibility at all for IIUSA or for anybody from the industry to have approached Congress with some ideas relating to the stimulus package?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, the association, even though everybody's locked down, is actively engaged with the appropriate members of Congress. We're in active dialogue with members of the judiciary, their staffs, and there's a good chance that this package, certainly it happened too fast, but there'll be some add-on packages coming down the road, and we have some, I think, very positive recommendations that are being well-received within Congress to help stimulate the economy and, of course, benefit the EB5 community. The program itself was a huge economic driver after the 2008 meltdown.
Right.
We have a similar situation, which may be certainly even more pronounced. And the time is good to make some reasonable adjustments to the program. Primarily, we're focused on derivative interpretation to open up the program so more money can flow which will also reduce the backlog in countries that are retrogressed and have a huge impact on the United States.
Bob, you're totally right. It is certainly a trying time. But with regards to these rumors, which initially began in Politico, did that emanate from any organization that you are aware of?
No, our understanding is that there was a splinter group that had dialogue with one of the senior members of the Senate, and then a staff person took it upon themselves to, from what they thought, to make it better and made a out-of-bounds request for lowering the investment amount from 900 to 450, which is a non-starter and didn't make any sense.
Right.
And was dead on arrival, plus asked for an outrageous visa increase to 75,000. And there's no way that's even possible. And it just was automatically dismissed.
We thought the same when we saw those figures. We were like, this is not real. But Bob, this really goes back to the fact that we're always suggesting that, you know, we need to be united behind an organization. And I recommend to all of our regional center clients to really join IIUSA.
Well, thank you. We're very engaged. And for our members, we're doing, I think, a very good job of providing timely, accurate information. And you're absolutely correct, Mona, that the better we are at sharing information with respect to what's happening right now, the better the whole industry is globally.
How are USA members? Have they reached out to you at all? Because I know you deal with a lot of different industries, not just real estate, industries where they are suffering, you know, hospitality suffering, and anybody with workers who are off the payroll or on payroll right now are suffering.
Yeah, it's an incredibly tough time for everybody, and not just in the United States. And we represent the program worldwide, so we are constantly contacted with respect to what's happening with the program and what our opinion is with respect to what the U.S. government's going to do from a stimulus standpoint to help American workers, but also certainly interested and concerned about EB-5 and its future.
Do you think EB-5 stakeholders can expect any changes coming up? I know we just had the big change from 500 to 900 and 1.8 and, of course, the TEA changes. But are you able to shed any light on any further changes, perhaps regulations, more regulations or legislation?
I think on the legislative front, we have the best opportunity to really move something positively, which would be in concert with future mini stimulus packages, if you will. The $2 trillion package that sounds like it's going to be signed and passed is unprecedented in American or the world's history in terms of money being infused into the economy.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. But there'll be follow-on packages more specific to certain segments of the industry. And that's our opportunity from an EB-5 standpoint to participate right along on those bills. And we are in active dialogue. And to answer your question, we're fairly optimistic that we have the right audiences. We've worked hard to build a high level of trust within Congress. We've been the most consistent voice on the Hill, and we're certainly aligned with the right people. And we're hopeful that this can be a real assist to the U.S. economy to get us out of the ditch.
When you say aligned with the right people, just so that our audience understand who we're talking about, we are talking about senators and congressmen on both sides of the aisle, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
Are we allowed to give out any little secrets about who actually is supporting us?
Yeah, I mean, I think it'd be better not to publicly disclose
until they vote. Yeah.
Yeah. I can always try,
Mark.
That's a fair question, but let's just say that the folks that believe in the program, and we do have widespread support on both sides of the aisle. Right now, we're at a point where people are looking at the program differently because it did drive significant economic growth after 2008 and created significant job activity nationally and brought in a lot of money.
I can tell you, actually, I was approached by one of the major newspapers not at liberty right now to disclose which ones, but it's one of the main ones, in relation to this, as to whether or not there will be another stimulus for real estate people, etc., in the way it happened in 2008. Because if you recall, Bob, that time it was Senator Cornyn who jumped in to save the construction industry by asking USCIS to recognize construction jobs.
That was a very good thing. That was very positive for the industry. So I understand why a newspaper would reach out trying to get a handle on this. Again, let me say we are optimistic. And I can tell you with 100% confidence and certainty that the IIUSA leadership, the officers, the board of directors, we had a call yesterday to make sure that we are united and there's no disagreement with respect to our strategy going forward. And Aaron Grau, who's the executive director, and his staff, I mean, they're working full time right now on this with our lobbyists. And we've actually brought in larger lobbying groups that are aligned with us. I feel really good about where we are. And if there's a chance to get something done, this may be the best chance we've ever had.
You know, I agree with you. Kudos to you all. Let's keep up the good work. All right. So on a different note, Bob, the new 900, it's been only around for 2-3 months. Are you seeing investors? Are you seeing any interest for people coming in at this level? Because you do have a few projects at the 900 level, I understand.
That's correct. And we've actually been encouraged, and you know this better than anybody, Mona. I mean, compared to other countries, $900,000 is not out of line at all.
No, I agree.
Consider the benefits of the United States versus other countries, perhaps, not to diminish or detract from other countries. And not everybody wants to come to the United States, but it's still a very good value. And it's been set at 500 since 1992 and not adjusted. So just inflation alone gets you to that number. So we're seeing very positive response. Of course, what's happening now with the COVID-19, everybody's locked down, but interesting. I mean, people are locked down. So they're very active on the internet, looking at this as a vehicle to leave their home countries and come to the United States.
Well, they're actually looking and seeing how the U.S. are treating this. I know we were slow to start up, and I know that perhaps there was this idea, a bit like I felt in the U.K., by the way, that in the U.K., as they're an island, they always feel that whatever happens in Europe doesn't really come over to them. And similarly, I had that feeling over here that, all right, all this stuff was happening in the UK and in Europe and in Asia, but it's not going to come to the US. But once it came to the US, I think the world can see that the US is really tackling this in a way that no other country is.
No, I agree. We've had a very aggressive response. And I mean, if you follow, I was just looking at the data today and the numbers are going to continue to go up aggressively because of increased testing. But you know, not to be morbid, but if you look at the fatality rate, we're right there with South Korea, a very low number, which is a good thing. And not that any death is acceptable. But I mean, if you look at the size of the country and what's happened in other countries, I think our response is correct. It's painful for everybody. But social distancing and trying to prevent the spread of it is a good strategy, along with everything else the government's doing.
I was speaking with an investor yesterday who said that if any country is going to bounce back, it's going to be the US. So, yeah, I can see why there's still a lot of interest in EB5. How are you dealing, though, with the new TEA issues with your project?
Sure. Yeah. With respect to the TEA hailing, that's not an issue for us. We actually were compliant with that in most cases under what the regs are now in the past. Our focus has been trying to invest in urban distressed areas and rural areas. And that's kind of been our approach from day one. We're not the largest in the country, but we do have 100% success rate with respect to 829 approvals. And we're very proud of that. So we've been kind of very conservative. Our due diligence is very intense. And the TEA thing, we saw that coming a number of years back, and we were already in pretty good shape with the projects that were raised in the past. And then going forward, it's not that difficult.
Well, First Pathway is quite an old regional center, actually. And I do believe that you're also, you have offices other than Milwaukee overseas.
We do. We're in Japan, South Korea, Vietnam, Jakarta, Indonesia. We're in Bangkok. We're in Dubai. We're in South Africa. We're in Europe, and we're in South America, throughout South America, with a office out of Miami that runs that operation.
Right. So you're in quite a few places.
Yes, we raised money from 44 different countries, and China, like everybody, was the number one market for us for years, and we began shifting when we saw, you know, what was beginning to happen, the backlog there in other countries. We also are in Nigeria, in Africa. You know, so we've kind of gone places where other people might not go. We've been to Russia, you know, and it's been good. We don't do the huge numbers other people do, but that's okay. You know, we kind of like to think of ourselves as single hitters, to put it in baseball parlance. But we just do a kind of a consistent job for the investors and make sure that the projects are solid and they achieve what they want to achieve and they get the return they're expecting for when they go in.
I understand, Bob, that you've also started on the E2 arena and you have an E2 franchise.
Yes, we started that a couple of years ago, looking at it in earnest. And we do have offerings for that. That's a very interesting pathway for people to come to the United States. Not everybody has the same objectives as the EB-5 investors.
That's right.
Benefits for E2. One is you're not subject to worldwide tax. It's a lesser amount coming in. The challenge there is finding businesses, you know, that fit that the client would be interested in participating in. But we've kind of figured that out. So we're excited about that. There's been a lot of interest and involvement with clients on that front as well.
Yeah, we've discussed E2 many times on this show, and we've had developers from Grenada and so on the show. We don't know, as you know, we don't promote any one particular developer, but we do like to give our audience and our listeners the choice of knowing that at least who's out there and they can speak to these people. And I believe that you also do the same. You don't deal with one developer in Grenada.
Well, we've spent time with a developer, and we also visited Grenada, myself and our chief operating officer, to meet the prime minister, meet all the cabinet members, and that's a very interesting program. We're also involved with the program in Turkey and kind of a similar approach. So those are good options. Not everybody, it doesn't fit for everybody, but, you know, it is a way, it's a workaround, as we call it, for people that are retrogressed and then would like to jump into an E2 program from a country that doesn't have a treaty with the United States.
You know, Bob, what we are finding, though, with the E2 franchise is that the consulates are giving our investors some difficulty because they're feeling that they're not in control of the franchise, that a third party is in control. Have you had this experience yet?
No, we haven't. The structure that we came up with kind of mitigates that concern. And it's actually a very good deal for the investor. They can be involved actively if they'd like to be, but they don't have to be actively involved. We have a management company that knows the business very well, that works on contracts, similar to what we do with the hotels that we're invested in, where the investors own the hotel, but you contract with a Marriott or a Kimpton or someone like that to actually run it.
Well, this is exactly where we've had the problem with the management agreement. And interestingly, we haven't had that issue with consulates out in Asia. We had it with consulates in Europe, Germany, for example, Germany, France. They've been very tough on management agreements.
Yeah, and all the consulate offices, to your point, are different, certainly. But we've been able to work through that through relationships that we've developed over many, many years doing business internationally. And sometimes it's as simple, and I know you've done this with people, of making sure they understand fully what the structure is. And then, and first of all, you've got to make sure it is, in fact, compliant with the law. So
right,
sure you've done that. But sometimes it's just a matter of education. And we've spent a lot of time educating the consulate offices on that approach, and we've had good success with it. So, but that doesn't mean that you may not have a consular office where maybe the person that happens to be sitting at the desk at the time doesn't understand it and they block it. But I mean, and that's the same with USCIS and all the adjudication issues that we all have on EB-5.
Yeah, that's true. We kind of blame this administration itself, but we've been arguing with consulate officers for years, well before this administration. They're a creed unto themselves, that's all I can say.
Well, they are. They're their own animal, that's for sure.
So, Bob, getting back to AIA USA. So, as I say, I'm going to give you a little difficult question. So, I am a new regional center, and I'm coming forward, and my attorney Mona is saying to me, you know, you should join AIA USA. It's good for you. And I'm like, I don't want to spend more money. Why? What good is it? What will it do for me to join AIA USA? So, Bob, what's your answer?
Yeah, I mean, right now, I would say is the best time to join AIA USA. We have actually a reduced membership number through the first part of the year. Let people participate and see the value from an educational standpoint. The information that's provided by AIA USA and the updates is unparalleled. There is no other organization that really focuses on education like AIA USA does. Plus, we have worldwide events that have been very well attended in the past, and we were sold out in South Africa before we had to cancel it because of what's happening right now. But there are a lot of opportunities to meet investors, to meet agents, to meet other regional centers to understand what their challenges might be. And the national meetings, the spring conference, which we just postponed because of this, but the fall conference is a great opportunity to meet attorneys that are knowledgeable like you and understand the program and learn. And to me, it's a terrific organization. So if you're in the business and you're serious about it and you're committed to it, to me, it's an absolute must. And it's a small investment for what you get back from a value standpoint.
It's a very good advert. In fact, they should have you advertising for them, Bob, you know. But I think that a lot of people don't even know that AIA USA have specialized committees such as public policy. And of course, we have our leadership committees and public policy committees, for example, will pick on issues that affect everybody and see how we can tackle it by using everyone's brain. It's not limited to just one or two people. This is the beauty of AIA USA. Everybody has a voice.
Yeah, and if you want to get involved at the committee level, those opportunities are available. There are 7 committees. And to your point, they're actively and aggressively involved with Congress or whoever the appropriate group might be. And it's basically taking the message from the membership and trying to influence or understand better so we can then educate members as to what's really happening or going to happen. So it's to me, it's a great organization. I'm proud to be a member. We joined right at the very beginning of the company, and I've been a board member for 8 years and then president the last 3.
But Bob, what happens though? We have a lot of people who are projects and now renting regional centers. Do you like those type of people to join AIA USA, or is this just limited to attorneys and regional centers only?
No, we're very happy to have those folks. And also, we've actually recently, we picked up 20 members in the last month, which is surprising given everything going on. But we have economic development groups from cities joining. We have private equity groups. And Mona, you know, as well as anybody, that it takes a lot of different pieces to put together a successful project.
It certainly does.
And so all those providers, accountants, you know, the deal structure people, the equity raise people, the banks, they all play an important role. The construction companies, the developers. So, you know, that's really our role. It's broader than just the regional centers. And we encourage anybody that's involved to join. And the investment to join is nominal for what you get back knowledge-wise.
Right. Well, we don't call it an industry for nothing.
It is, and it's huge. It really is. When you think about it, the size of just the EB-5 raises, plus if you extrapolate that in terms of the total dollars involved driven by EB-5, it's massive. It's a very big industry and very significant.
You're so correct, Bob. And who would have thought that this podcast series that we have is going on for more than 4 years with 105 plus episodes, and we still have so much to talk about. Mark, would you have thought that when we first started?
Honestly, no. Nor did I think that the industry would change as much as it has, both in regulation, economic impact, and it's the way that the market is using the program. And that's why I'm thankful for, obviously, leaders like you, Mona, as well as leaders like Bob here and the IIUSA, the EB5 Trade Association, Invest in the USA, how it really keeps its finger on the pulse of the EB5 industry and lets those up on Capitol Hill know what changes we need or have our voice be heard before they make some changes without respect of what can happen with the EB5. Because as you both mentioned, sure, it raises capital for projects to build things, but it also creates jobs. You know, each EB5 investor is at least 10 jobs. And as we both know, you always like to have a buffer. So typically it's more than 10 jobs per investor. Yeah, right now we need jobs.
Yeah, we need jobs. And if I could put a little plug in for IIUSA, if listeners are not a member, if they go to IIUSA.org, they can get the information they need to consider membership.
Bob, thank you. It's wonderful having your perspective on our show, as well as the fact that you're a successful regional center and have good projects. Thank you for coming onto our show.
My honor, and thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for being with us today on EB5 Investment Voice. The topics presented in this podcast is informational in nature and is not to be taken as specific legal advice. If you have questions on the topics presented in this episode or other investment immigration needs, please contact Mona Shaw and Associates. Mona and her attorney staff can be reached at mshawlaw.com. That's mshahlaw.com. Make sure you don't miss our next episode focusing on a different aspect of the EB5 program by subscribing to the podcast. While you're at it, leave us a rating on iTunes. If you really found this episode valuable, share it with someone else that could benefit from this information. Until then, I'll see you on the next episode of EB5 Investment Voice.